Now that's a can crack. We don't have an explosion. Cheers, Paige.
Cheers.
Welcome in. No puns allowed. Much better not to be dripping with beer like 10 seconds into the pot.
For what it's worth, I just want to behind the scenes for a sec. I listen to every episode of our podcast, of course, and the other day I put it on my television to watch while I was, or listen while I was getting ready, and the can crack and like spillage of last week was very entertaining. I just have to say, even if you weren't watching, but you were just listening, it was like, what is going on?
Oh shit. Son of a bitch. Did you see that?
Yeah, hold it up to the camera.
We have a disaster. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of good cues to, because it's panic. This is not clearly not rehearsed. It was more panic, and then like, that's right, not everyone can see me. I should describe what's happening. Which is a perfect segue to this box right next to me.
All yes. Right?
Now, there it is. For those who can't see me, this is a giant box from Municipal. To go back behind the curtain further, this arrived yesterday, just in the nick of time, from our friends at Municipal, who are sponsoring the pod yet again. I do have a winner of last week's contest to announce. We'll get to that. You are repping the gear as well. What was funny in the prelude up to our pod, I told you, like, hey, I want to do a mini unboxing. You're going to do this on social media, which is going to be, like, professional and, like, influencery. Like, I am incapable of that. I cannot, like, it'll be well done. It'll be narrate. I don't know what it will be, but it will be thought out.
The thought of you, like, setting up your phone and, like, recording a video of yourself in your phone that's, like, not rehearsed.
Yeah.
Is, like, actually kind of hilarious, and I want you to try it one time, but we will let you do your unboxing here live on the show.
I'm doing it now.
It'll be a quick unboxing so we can get to football, but yeah, I did
cut the sides of the box a little bit.
Yeah, we were debating whether or not Kramer should cut open the box before we started, and I was like, he's like, oh, I cut the side so I could rip it open. I'm like, oh, so you're trying to cheat and make it look like you're super strong and you could just rip a box without...
Hey, look at that color. Look at this fire polo.
That is an Adam Kramer highlighter color if I've ever seen one.
I want to find a few greatest hits. Oh yeah. Look at that. Look at this masterpiece of polos. So I won't do the whole thing. Now I'm feeling kind of obnoxious doing it already. But Municipal, thank you. Go check out municipal.com. I've got polos. I've got sweatshirts. I got a pair of shoes in here that I can't wait to try. Probably more than anything I wear Municipal-wise, the shoes.
Mine are sick.
I wore to a wedding, and like I was that dad, and I got a lot of compliments on it. So
I will
be that
say,
dad,
your unboxing was excellent, and the holding it up and everything. I think this should encourage more people to go watch on YouTube, because I feel like this is a much better podcast as a visual medium. But we appreciate anyone who listens, no matter what, especially our friends at Municipal who are sponsoring the pod and gearing us out. I do have
a nice shirt.
I will say one other thing on this. I have never like requested like specific colors or like of things. I've always just been like, hey, whatever you want to give me. This color, I like, it's a two-tone shirt. It's two tones of blue and it's Municipal. Like, as you know, the people who know me, blue is my favorite color in terms of like what to wear and aesthetic. And this shirt, I literally said, in blue, please, if you can, when I sent over to our buddy to send stuff over to us. So I did, in fact, get the request of that and have lots of blue. So I'm very excited to unbox that on social. But you definitely did it justice here on the pod.
We will wear this, by the way, on our AP poll reaction show, one of the hottest shows in the college football space, I might add, on Sundays at 1 p.m. Central, God's time. So if you have not been checking us out there, go check us out.
God's time.
Yes, we're rolling. We are rolling through the season. It is week four somehow. Oh, wait, real quick. Before we get into the football things, I want to congratulate Mr. Brooks. That's at Brooks PW.
Okay.
At Memphis over Florida State.
Okay.
And that was the upset winner. There were people shooting from the hip. So we'll do game day upsets on Saturday. If you don't know the drill, give us your best upset. Give us a score. Biggest upset outright wins $100 Municipal gift card. Memphis over Florida State was the winner. There are people picking Michigan to lose. There was a lot of Colorado State, Colorado. people calling their shots. Not too many hit this last week, but hopefully we'll move that, change that moving forward. So I really think for week four, we're starting to get the storylines of the season. Week three, week four, sort of transition to last week and now moving forward. And there's a couple things that stand out. Billy Napier, like, we're done here, right? Like,
okay.
We're done here. Like, is there any way this doesn't end in the place where we know it's ending, which is Florida looking for a new coach? Well, we could talk about when it will end, but do you think he's gone? Like, this is going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm curious, like, what do the people at Florida think is the problem here? Because I think one of the things that I'm incredibly curious about, because Florida is Florida, like, they're not hurting NIL. It's wise. There's certainly a place where you convince people to come play. And they've struggled to really, and I will say this, look, the Dan Mullen thing, like, reflecting on it, like, Florida wasn't that bad. It just wasn't up to Florida's expectation. And I understand in the way that college football was going forward, he did make comments about recruiting and not caring about that stuff and things like that. But I do think he would have developed with the times. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have fired him, but I'm curious why, like, if the football aspect was there and you were at least decent, why there couldn't be some patience on that front. Because I feel like you're in the opposite situation now.
Oh, Pelini at Nebraska. And Nebraska's coming out of it, but, like, there's, like, a complacency. There's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, it's like gambling, right? You just assume if you keep throwing money at a problem,
yes,
you're eventually going to make back your
money.
Eventually
going to win.
And sometimes you do. And sometimes you just dig a deeper hole. And the Mullen thing just never felt right to me. Like, that one was weird. The Pelini one was complicated at Nebraska. But the Mullen one didn't feel quite right. And, like, Billy Napier, like, by all accounts, was a very, like, he had the resume,
yeah,
the experience. Like, a lot has to go right for these coaches to be successful.
I think that's what, like, the point I'm getting at is that, like, we've seen you throw a ton of money at Jimbo Fisher and it doesn't go well. And he's a proven winner. But I think right now we're in a stage of college football that's changing so drastically that I think the formula is a little different. And you also could go from one second, it's totally great and you're turning your program around like Norvell, and you could then be in a situation like he's in this year, which I think is a perfect segue to talk about that other situation in Florida that is seemingly just getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Like, so here's the question. Florida plays at Mississippi State this week. They are, last time I checked, a 6-point favorite. They then play at home against UCF. They then play at 10. And then this is where the schedule just gets fucking crazy. They play at Tennessee, which is a much harder game. Think that now that it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. They play Kentucky at home. They play Georgia. They play at Texas. They play LSU. Play Ole Miss. And they play at Florida State, which isn't so bad. So where are we if he loses one of the next 2 weeks? Like, that should do it, right? Like if you lose at Mississippi State Sunday morning, you and I are probably saying, like, do we have to write about this or not? Is that, like, that's going to happen, right? Or are we that far along in the process? It kind of feels like we are.
It feels like we are, but think about how we talked about Jimbo Fisher. That took a while to happen. Like, we thought it was going to happen well before it did. And I think when you're in a situation where, you know, there is a lot of money, you've kind of done this in the past. I don't know. I don't know that he doesn't survive the season. I think you grit it out, especially with how, like, terrible. I don't know. I just don't think there's a reason, because also you're not going to bring in a new coach that's actually going to be your guy until after the season's over. I don't see the point in having an interim take over and having, I mean, if I were Florida, this is how I would look at it. Like, you're going to be paying him anyway. And you might as well have him coach this out because this is the toughest schedule in the entire country. You might as well just have it be the way that it is. You can't, like, I know fans will be mad and I know there's going to be an uproar, but, like, at the same time, I personally just don't think it makes any sense.
I actually agree with you. I don't know if that's going to change the mentality. you're going to be looking for a new head coach, whether you have the vacancy open or not. This is how it works. This is what.
Exactly. It's not like, oh, people are now going to do that. And, or people are now going to be like coming to you. Like, no, people already smell blood in the water. Their agents will be coming to you, even though they're coaching other programs right now.
I did see some Florida odds. Let me see if I could find them. And it was, I don't know. There was Lane Kiffin was the favorite, from what I remember. Dion was on there. That ain't happening. Like, that's clearly not going to happen. Why would
you? What are the odds for Jed Fish?
I'm sorry. Jamie Chadwell was 4-1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That makes some sense. Lane Kiffin, 5-1. Dion, 6-1.
Why?
Jed Fish was 50-1. Right in front of Ryan Day at 60-1.
Ryan Day? Like, that's the least. Yeah. To me, that's like the least Florida person ever.
Ryan Schottenheimer, that'd be the best hire, at 9-1. Brent Key at 8-1. Drinkwitz at 7-1. Chris Klieman, who I think
Drinkwitz
would be a
good one.
Drinkwitz would be good. Klieman would be good. Matt Rhule checking in at 14-1.
Now he's staying where he is.
I forget whose odds these are. These are not, I wouldn't worry too much about these odds. And then you get down to the really dumb shit, like Kirby Smart and Tim Tebow are both 150-1. This is where it's just engagement.
Tim Tebow would never. He's not wishing the evil of coaching of college football on himself.
I do want to also talk about
Florida State.
Florida State.
Yes, please.
Like, buddy, this is bad.
Okay.
It's even worse if you bet them last week, which I did. But this is bad. So, Mike Norvell would be owed. He's not getting fired. Okay, he's not getting fired. So let's set the appropriate tone. His buyout would be like $60 million. And like he just led an undefeated team last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't great. And the problem with a season like this is it tends to snowball a little bit. Like it can really, and they're bad. DJ eats a ton of shit. And I'm not saying he should be free from eating the shit, but God, they're bad. They can't block. They can't tackle. They drop passes. They make penalties. And a lot of that, I guess, could fall directly on Norvell. So I don't know what to make of this team. They have a tough game against Cal this week. But all is not well on that front at all.
No. And I think to your point about it snowballing, like, he has to be able to get this to stop. Because, again, what makes you great and a great football coach is being able to have those seasons like they had last year, losing so much and being able to do it again. That's what we saw with Saban. That's what we see with Kirby. I mean, there's plenty of coaches you could say they load up again. I mean, Ryan Day, another example. Like, you lose a lot. And if you're going to be one of the premier programs in college football, you're going to lose a lot, whether it be to the NFL, whether it be to NIL, and you're going to have to be able to adjust. This is a really bad look in terms of long-term for him because it is like, okay, you are one of the places too, I believe, much like I said with Florida. It's not hard to recruit kids to go to Florida State to play football. It's not that hard. You also have the money. You have it. You have the backing. So it's figuring out how to, like you said, not let this get out of control where this becomes this was a fluke one-time thing for them last year, and now this is the narrative going forward with Florida State.
When this started unfolding, week one, it's like, oh boy, that was a surprise. Week two, it's like, we have a problem. Now it's like, Jesus Christ, Florida State, you are 0-3. The point spread against Cal this week, so Cal, who looks decent, right?
By the way, shout out Cal. All right, they won some good games.
Good looking unis.
Not their fans. Not their fans, though. Did you see that? That was probably one of the highlights of last week was Justin Wilcox getting on the ref's microphone to be like, stop throwing it. And I mean, can you imagine being in that position where like you're so mad at your fans for doing that and it's costing you like penalties and you're like, just stop. And also like, no offense to Cal students, but like, those probably aren't the most like football guys and football girls that are there. And
a lot of offense to Cal students.
Well, no,
I'm just saying
like that's not their main priority at Cal is to be, but you're at a football game. Know the fact that this is going to cause penalties for your team. Don't do that. Even though you're mad that there was a tradition thing that didn't happen, Figure it out with your student section rep. Do not cause problems for your football team, who's actually being very good.
Cal, you going to take that shit?
Great. Now you're going to get Berkeley kids on my case.
No, they don't exist. This isn't like the... Well, I guess it is the ACC. I don't even know anymore.
This is the ACC.
We just can't help but shitting on the ACC.
Yes.
Well, they're not even real ACC.
Because they're also... Two and a half. Two and a half.
The spread is 2.5. So... All right, so let's do this game again. You play at home versus Cal. I bet Florida State last week. I don't want anything to do with this game. Florida State then plays at SMU, where they're probably going to be an underdog. They play Clemson at home. They will be an underdog. They play at Duke. Not going to be fun. Not safe for work at Miami. North Carolina, not great. At Notre Dame, well, it depends what version we get, but that's a loss. Charleston Southern feel pretty good. And then Florida at the end feels like one of the saddest fucking games that you could possibly draw up. I mean, that is just the no hope bowl. I don't think they're making a bowl game. This is bad. Now, okay, we've got two teams. We've got Florida and Florida State. Florida is like, we're going to blow this thing up. Florida State's like, what the hell do we do? Let's redo it. And then you have LSU and Brian Kelly. And I know that you have very strong feelings about this coach. So do I. And this program. So LSU wins in somewhat shocking and exciting fashion.
Lucky fashion,
sure. Against South Carolina. I thought Nussmeier played an awesome game. The Brian Kelly collage of disdain in full effect, just every red shade of red or purple, whatever you can imagine. So they win 36-33, and so he avoids being 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
That said, like, it's starting, right? Like, we're not at Billy Napier territory.
No.
But it's beginning.
We do think the Florida State situation is bad, but like the expectation at LSU that is a lot shorter of a leash that you have over there. What I will say is like I do think I'm not if I'm an LSU fan I'm not overly panicked, because despite Brian Kelly's personality flaws maybe, he is a good football coach, and I think again, they're going to be fine. I think this year is certainly going to be disappointing, especially with expanded playoff. But I think that he will still be the LSU coach at the end of the year and for years to come.
So they play UCLA, who, by the way, is horrible. They're bad. South Alabama. So they're going to be 4-1. They're going to be ranked. They're going to play Ole Miss at home. They could win that game. Then they play at Arkansas, at Texas A&M. Alabama at home, at Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma. So, like, I don't know. Like, this schedule is, if you lose South Carolina, the vibes change. By the way, he's owed, if he's fired, which I don't think he will be either, north of $60 million as well. So, he ain't getting fired. But LSU, like, LSU's a job that won't take a lot of shit. More than a lot of places. Like, if you coach here, you win a national championship, and then we'll fire you. That's what you do at LSU. And they don't feel particularly close to winning a national championship right now.
No. Like, not at all.
Now, they've got awesome recruiting class. I agree with you. The ingredients are there, but so is the unrest. It feels like there's just general unrest at LSU. And Brian Kelly makes it so easy, too, because it's like, I could talk to people that don't watch college football, which we'll see. They'll watch him and they'll be like, you know what? I don't like that fucking guy. Like, that guy bothers me. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't help. Having a punchable face does not help when it comes to should we fire this person or not. Punchable.
Also, like, LSU fired probably one of the most, like, despite what we found out after, obviously, please don't come for me, cancel culture, but Ed Orgeron was one of the most likable figures in college football, despite a lot of character flaws. You know what I mean? Like, he was still
Yes.
Very beloved. And I don't know that Brian Kelly has that on his side either. So if LSU can do that to Coach O, I think they can do it to anyone.
What do you think Coach O is doing right now?
He's in a tanning bed probably right now. And then he's got drinks probably at like 2:30 in the afternoon on the beach somewhere with nice. Whatever person he's hanging out with these days.
Yeah, there you go. That seems like an appropriate way to put it. I'm surprised he's not coaching like the special teams on like a local high school or something.
No. Coach O is, and this is how I expect Lane Kiffin to go out too. Not in a like dramatic way where there's like controversy around him. I mean more in the sense of like he will be on a beach in Florida and like living his best life.
When it's time, it's time.
Like I don't see like as much as like because Lane Kiffin's dad was around the game like constantly, and I feel like Lane, once he's done for his own mental health, will be like, peace out, Girl Scout. But Coach O, he probably already got his run in this morning, his beach run, hit the tanning bed after that, and then is now probably headed out for like some happy hour cocktails. That's like, I imagine him drinking like a free drink that's blended and just like living his best life.
I can't help, as we're talking about who's going to get fired or like Florida has prompted the Urban Meyer conversation to start in earnest. And it just makes me, and this isn't any real conversation. Like Florida does not want Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer does not want Florida. But it does make me laugh when you have a job like this open up. It's like play the hits.
Yeah.
It's Lane Kiffin, it's Urban Meyer, and then it's like, okay, if not, then we're gonna be mad.
Do you think it's kind of weird that people really don't mention Kirby in a lot of this stuff? Like, I know he coaches in Georgia, but like there are better, like we've talked about, like what's the best job in college football. It's funny that like Kirby is just not that guy. Like people know that like Georgia for him is probably it, and it's probably not worth bringing him somewhere else, and he probably won't go. But I'm curious if his agents get a call. Like I'm about this.
Yeah, it's kind of like with Saban. There was that one, it felt like very real flirtation with Texas. Remember that? Yeah. Where it was like, we're gonna offer him equity. There was some like, outlandish rumors.
Miss Terry was looking at homes reportedly. Yeah. Lies.
But outside of that, like her. There was like an assumption like this guy has it going here, why leave? And I feel like that's kind of the case with Kirby, but you would think with the success, well, Jim Harbaugh's having some success. He's still fucking weird as hell, but he's having some success.
We can let's talk a little about Kirby and Georgia before we go to the Texas of it all. I think we talked about this on our AP poll show, whether or not Georgia fans should be concerned. Obviously, they're not the number one team in the country anymore, according to the AP poll. I was one surprised that that happened because I genuinely think sometimes the AP poll voters don't do the right thing. And I think in this instance, like the AP poll is looking more and more like a playoff situation might, a college football playoff rankings, I should say. But as for this weekend's game against Kentucky, I just don't even, like, I knew they were going to win that game. I had a little hope. We both kind of were like, it'd be kind of fun if they lost. It'd kind of send things into chaos. But we've seen this like every year, even when they've been at their most dominant, that they always have like one weird SEC game that is like, what? Is Georgia bad all of a sudden? And then it's like, oh, nope, they'll come out the next week and pound somebody by 50 points. Like, I don't think we should be concerned at all, and don't think that we should be not focusing on Georgia as a national championship contender.
Okay. I'm going to try and I'm actually doing a video on this for our BR betting friends this week. So this is good. This lets me workshop it. Now, first and foremost, both teams have a bye this week, Georgia and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia goes to Alabama the following week. I want to do the line. What do you think that point spread is? Georgia at Alabama. It is the 6:30 ABC game for week five, which is awesome. By the way, you got Louisville, Notre Dame. We'll get to it. But there's some doozies in this week.
I will say that Georgia is favored by 4.5.
2.5.
Wow.
So
the Kentucky game definitely impacted how people are betting.
For sure. And all right. So this happens to teams. It's happened to Georgia. It hasn't happened where they've looked as inept as they have. But and it's happened to Alabama too. So like you would to understand like levels of panic, I go back to Nick Saban's teams who have done this. We saw it against South Florida last year, maybe for half this year. Like for Kirby, this is weaponizing. Like you could weaponize this and say, we fucking suck, boys.
Yep.
Like, stop it. Like, we suck. There are some concerning things, though. They could not stop Kentucky from running for a good portion of the game. The offense looked very much out of sync. They have some injuries now that are concerning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as many dudes. They've got great players. They've got some great players. Carson Beck doesn't look nearly like the same guy I thought we were going to get yet. I think he'll be fine. So it's not panic, but you're kind of taking inventory of this, saying, like, just like we did with Oregon. Like, huh.
Yeah.
Now, they kicked the ever-living shit out of Clemson in week one, and we were like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's great. So this is what we do. We don't want to overreact. But there are, like, if you want to find areas of, to be worried about, I think there's enough there to say all is not right with Georgia.
Yeah, I will say this. The other thing as a Georgia fan you should be worried about is that Alabama's had your number in SEC championship games. Like, that
Alabama looks pretty good, too.
That hurts. Like, that's frustrating. It's not just any game. It's not just a team. It's a team that's on your regular season calendar that, you know, there's really been the only team that can beat them over the last couple of years. So, and certainly they've gotten the better of them as well. So I'm sure there's Georgia fans screaming at this, being like, we've won, and we won a national championship over them. I get it. But it's not your usual game, and it's not the time. I'm glad they have a bye to fix it, but it's not your usual week five comfort level that you would want as a Georgia fan and have had over the last couple of years.
No, I already kind of like the under in that game, by the way. I don't know what it is. I don't think there's a total yet, but I'm ready to go there already. Oh, there is a total, 51.5. Yeah, I kind of like the under.
Spoiler.
So we will talk plenty about that game next week. So the panic level, panic's the wrong word. Concern, plenty. Before we talk week four, let's talk some. It's nice to do kind of roundabout football news. ACC is essentially ready to explore getting rid of these lawsuits that they're dealing with Clemson. Florida State has been the really squeaky wheel to adjust the way they distribute revenue. More or less, they're kind of agreeing to Florida State's demands as it's being written and alleged through ESPN, and essentially saying Florida State and Clemson to get more money, right? I mean, that's, let's just cut to the chase, that they'll get a bigger piece of the pie.
Yeah.
It is funny that Florida State is so fucking embarrassing right now.
That they're trying to do that.
This is what we're talking about. Is that not, like, hilarious?
Brett McMurphy is his number one joke on Twitter right now, is that they're bad and they're suing their conference.
Oh, I don't want to do the Brett McMurphy greatest hits. Now I'm...
You did.
No.
But it's also funny that, like, the two teams that joined from the Pac-12 are also in talks to be like, hey, peace out, we're going to be back in the Pac-12 and not worrying about you. So I think that's also something where the ACC is like, look, we're offloading a little bit. Maybe we can meet these demands in other ways. So yeah, a very fascinating situation. And the business side of all of this is just kind of nuts. But also, I do want to say shout out to the Pac-12. We talked about this. I told our fans of this pod last year that the Pac-12 is technically not dead for another 2 years if they find people to join their conference. So the Pac-12 still will exist. Now they're the six-pack? Get it?
Yeah, I got it. Which is more of that's my genre of jokes. So well done.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think of this? Like, it's not the Pac-12. This is taking, like, a shitty old house and putting a coat of paint on it and being like, it's a new house. Like, shout out to these teams for the rebrand.
Yeah, I don't know why you're being so hateful. I am happy about it. Wow, sounds like someone's a Pac-12 hater and doesn't want it to be back and just is happy taking, you know, Pac-12 teams for his conference to pack them into the Big Ten.
I'm just not
rude.
The Pac-12, I hate saying this, deserve to die. They
last
died.
Year it deserved to die. No, it didn't.
Yeah, no, no. Like when
the
you
commissioners
come back,
of the Pac-12 not... for the last couple of years or the last couple of times, I should say, the last two deserve to be
no.
put away. But
the
no,
Pac-12
the conference
got
and
bit
the team itself.
Zombie.
No, no, no.
The
no,
Pac-12 got
I disagree.
Bit by a zombie.
I disagree.
Right? And this, you wake up and your wife or your future husband is a zombie, and it's not your wife or your husband anymore. It is not that person. This is not.
This is not your grandma's Pac-12. I know what you're saying, but I think it's fun. I want it to be back. I want the brand itself to be back. I want those
I
teams
like the
that got
brand.
Left behind back. And this is not even including my own team.
I'm
just
happy
sentimental
for Washington State and Oregon
I don't know.
State.
It sounds like you hate the Pac-12.
No, I just like...
And I want to get this put out there that Adam Kramer hates the Pac-12 and he doesn't want it to
you,
be revived.
You go to your favorite like vacation and it's amazing. You have this great time and you go back and... The fucking pool is dirty. Your hotel room sucks. It's not the same.
Whoa. You don't. I'm not saying it's going to look the same, but you don't think it's going to bring the same type of chaos with those teams?
Well, no. It'll be dumb football. I love dumb football. Like, don't get me wrong.
I know.
I just,
sounds like, you know.
I love dumb stuff. I like all these teams. I'm going to watch. I just.
Sounds like you.
This is
selfishly...
not glory days to me. Okay? No. Do weird shit. Like. By the way, when Thursday night football is ending in the NFL, go Jets, start a Pac-12 game or whatever you want to call it, the six-pack game. Like, let's do it. Let's start it at 9 o'clock at night. Like, this is an outlet to weird football games at weird hours. I like that.
And then,
but the Pac-12
sounds like
I know
a lot
and
of back,
love is dead.
Backtracking.
No. This is like Boise State is here to save the day.
Hey, like, first of all, that's a terrible example to use. You should have used a team that's not very good.
Who else is...
And doesn't have a Heisman candidate on their roster. You couldn't think of any. You couldn't...
No,
who else is in it? You couldn't think of any.
Because it's so irrelevant. You know what is interesting, though? Who is and not getting invites is funny to me. Like, UNLV is an interesting team. They're hot right now. It's Vegas. But then you have to potentially add Nevada. So there's a lot of, like, political... There's some new political jockeying going on. Hold on. Who is he? What the fuck even is the Pac-12?
I can't even believe that you are hating this hard on a conference revival after it died
real.
After such a successful year.
I am being real. Hold on.
Real.
Real
mean about
it. No. You're in the Big 12 now. You too have to move on.
You can take the girl out of the Pac-12, but you can't take the Pac-12 out of the girl. All right? That's how it goes. Loyal forever.
What are the teams? Okay.
Back
Boise,
to pack.
I'm going to grade these teams. Boise State is probably the worst example I could have used because
yes.
that's the gem. Okay?
That's the gem. They could make the college football playoff this year still. Calm down.
That was bad. All right. Boise State is an A-minus addition. Colorado State. Let's see. They suck. Fresno State. I'm gonna go B minus. I have a strong affinity for Fresno State. San Diego State, C. Oregon State and Washington State. You are hopefully not listening to this because I love both of you very, very much. Want to give you guys a big hug for hanging in there.
Sure. You're backtracking. Kramer, I know you and you're the nicest guy around, but this is painful.
Let's just call it what it is, which ate the Pac-12. This is more Mountain West than Pac-12.
What I'm offensive, I personally think that if the new Pac-12 wants me to be the face of the conference support the rebuild of this, I'm fully in support of it. So call me Pac-12 people.
To be clear,
it because I want it to be back alive.
I'll delete this pot. Like, you want us to be. Like, we'll hang out in the middle and I'd like...
The official podcast of the new Pac-12 after Kramer just obliterated. Wow, guys. Now you're seeing the true colors behind...
Oh, yeah. No.
You're seeing the true colors behind Adam Kramer now. Wow.
We're sellouts. I'm a sellout. Not we. I won't even...
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm rude.
I love all of this. But I don't like the way it's being shaped.
Hater.
Like, the Pac-12 is like, we are so back. It's like...
They are so back. How dare you? First of all, I love We Are So Back. I say that so much. For like a female, I probably say We Are So Back more than any other female on this planet. I would venture to guess.
I don't mind that. We're going to get back on. We rarely disagree on this pod.
That was hurtful.
All right, it's fine. Well, we might be fighting after this. Let's see how we feel about this. So Tennessee is raising its ticket prices 10% next year, and essentially devising, like outlining very much up front, yes, that the 10% raise is going to go to the players. We can start paying the players next year. It's going to be expensive. Yeah. This is their way of doing it. Now, I don't have an issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very funny. The tickets have been going up and up and up. You're paying coaches a lot more. Like, the upkeep on your programs is a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, you've been raising ticket prices. I don't love the theme of, like, hey, guys, like, now that you're paying more, we got to pay our players. So that's going on the fans.
Interesting.
I think it's clever wordsmanship to not running a business well. Like, you got to pay your players. And yeah, now the fans are on the hook for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what it is. You're passing the bill to the fans. And you're going to do it, by the way, with one of the best quarterbacks in college football next year, Nico, Tennessee quarterback.
My thing is that, like, this is like, it's not affordable for a family of four to go to an NFL game. It's not affordable for a family of four to go to an NBA game. So this is happening in professional sports, and they also are paying players. So this, like, kind of makes sense. In the NFL, they're not saying, hey, please, we raised all these ticket prices because we need more money to pay players. So I do understand your point of, like, saying it, but I also appreciate that fans will feel like if they're paying for this ticket and it is raised, Tennessee's avoiding the screenshots of, hey, this is outrageous that it's gone up so much, and can come out in front of it and say, you guys are helping support the team be good. And I think a lot of fans will, especially in a place like Tennessee, where they want to see them do well. They're willing to pay to see them do well. I think it's a fair move. It's sad for college football that it's about to be universal, but, like, prices are going to go up everywhere, whether your school is telling you or not that this is going towards the team. I mean, even the difference between of, like, what a ticket costs. I'm going for family weekend to the University of Arizona. It's no shade to Arizona right now. What a ticket costs when I was in college to go to a game during family weekend, and a ticket price this time to go for family weekend, a lot more. Okay. So this is a general theme moving forward for college football. I don't hate it. I do hate in general that sports are not accessible for people to take their children and families to go see sporting events because they are very, very expensive. But I think that's a separate conversation than this Tennessee one. I think that's, like, a general sports consensus that I feel like teams should be doing more to make it accessible for people who are not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on going to games.
I'm not saying ESPN got this wrong, but I was reading the ESPN article on this.
Not great fact checkers. I can confirm that.
Wow, this is just a hostile episode. Okay, here's the sentence or the paragraph I question. Okay, more than ever, Tennessee fans will have to ante up. Man, I get so nervous reading. In 2025, the cheapest season ticket for home football games, including taxes, required contribution, talent fee, will cost $453 in the family section, which is in the upper deck. Student ticket prices doubled from 10 to 20 in game. And will increase to 25 in 2025. So essentially, you just got your new AD, and this is noted in this. Like, you hired a baseball coach. His salary is now $3 million, which is a shit ton for a baseball coach, by the way. You gave your AD a big extension. Heupel's in line to get more money, it looks like, because they look like they're going to be pretty good. We'll find out more after this weekend. I worry about the business model. I worry about the business. By the way, in last year, Tennessee had $73 million in profit. $75 million in 2023, according to this article. So maybe the business model is fine. I just feel like it's an odd way to present this. I understand why, and it's not going to stop most people from going.
Uh-uh.
And people are going to kind of accept it. And you hit the nail on the head. Now that Tennessee did this, oh my God, talent fees are coming. Like, everybody's going to do a talent fee. We just needed someone to roll it out. press releases are going to flow when it comes to this. That is absolutely what is about to happen here.
No, it makes sense.
Should we talk about week four?
Yes. Let's talk about Texas a little bit, though, because we do need to talk about Bitcoin. Yeah. Yours is hurt. I do want to say, one, it's like the weirdest situation, and you and I are talking about this in real time, to be like so in favor of Quinn Ewers and want him to be successful and like hate the fact that he got injured and be like super excited for what we saw from Arch Manning and the Arch Manning like era. It feels like I'm very conflicted about how I feel about it, but I think we can talk, especially this coming week, they play UL Monroe, and it's like, okay, you're starting Arch. And
although Sark is being pretty coy about that, like
they're doing it to, you might start Arch. If I'm Texas, I'm starting Arch for like a couple weeks to just make sure Quinn is like perfectly fine. You have the depth to do it. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Texas has the depth. This is what you do when you're a program like Texas and can do. And you also are, you know, there's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of factors that go into college football playoff. This feels like you have a quarterback that you can win with, and still very much, I think, even if Quinn wasn't back and healthy at all this season, still would be a national championship contender. But maybe you know, if you're Sark, you front office this and GM this a little bit and make sure you're taking care of your guys to make sure this whole year is a success, not just, hey, we made the playoff like last year.
We've given Arch a lot of credit for staying for good reason.
Yes.
The Arch plan to stay is working out beautifully. He was 9 of 12 last week for 223 yards and 4 touchdowns. He also ran for a 67-yard touchdown, and he could move. Now, it doesn't sound like Quinn Ewers is really hurt. Arch is going to play for the next few weeks, like you said. It's great experience for him. It's great for Ewers, although it probably nukes his chances to win a Heisman. But you need Ewers to win big this season, I believe. You don't want to say an injury is good.
Well, if you have him, absolutely. But
no, you don't want to say an injury is good. Like, I want to see Ewers healthy. I really like watching him play. We'll have time for Arch. But God, this is why you have the situation that you're in. When the week that Michigan announces it's making a quarterback change, right? Like, Texas is just kind of like, yeah, fuck it. Like, 1-5 start to the next. They were both the number one player in the country. And we're just going to, you know, yeah, I might not play. All right, Arch, you're up. So, but I'm happy for Arch, too, because you're getting just, the buzz is building. So if you're Arch, you're looking, okay, next year is going to be my team. And I'm going to probably cascade that into a really high draft pick. Like, this is the flow. All of that is setting up now to be the exact path he follows. So good for him. Good for Texas.
Hokum. What other games from this next week are you excited about? I have my favorite of the week, and I think it's different than your favorite of the week.
I don't have Tennessee, Oklahoma in locks. That is the very obvious answer.
That's what I like.
Is that your game?
Okay.
What'd you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say Utah.
Well, that game I don't have either, but we can start with Tennessee, Oklahoma. Like, the spread is 7. Man, it's hard for me not to just absolutely pound Tennessee in this game. Like, I just don't see Oklahoma competing, but then again, like, this, I don't know. Like, this is a really weird spread. The contrarian in me is saying Oklahoma's the play here. I just can't do that. I kind of thought that about NC State, and I'm glad I didn't. So Tennessee has a lot going right for it. Oklahoma has been fine, but not all that impressive. I mean, what do you think? I don't know if you have this game in your locks at all or not, but there's a lot to unpack.
I'm going to take Tennessee. I genuinely think that we'll get a good look at both of these teams. I think I'm going to go with Tennessee in terms of locks, just because I do feel like Tennessee is going to come out of this and we're going to be like, okay, Tennessee is genuinely good. That could really backfire on me. But after watching this Oklahoma team, I don't know. And they're definitely improved, but I don't know that they're at the level that Tennessee could be at. Also, like, I did look at Nico's stats last week because I was like, wow, they scored a ton of points. What was Nico's numbers? He hands the ball off a lot. So
yes. Yes.
It's a safe bet.
Get him mad.
It's a safe bet. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying he does have, you know, significant talent around him that is also very good.
You're not saying he's not good. You're just saying the people around him carry him to victory on a weekly basis.
Make him look maybe better than we've thought.
Gosh.
And also, I think any hypo offense, like, people are immediately thinking about how great of a passer he could be, but maybe not thinking necessarily about how intricate that offense can be and what they can do to be successful. And I think maybe that's the difference this year, is focusing on how to be successful, not just around one type of way of doing things.
Oklahoma State, Utah, interesting line movement. I think Oklahoma State opened as a small favorite. Utah now is a 2-point favorite. Cam Rising is going to play. I picked Oklahoma State to win the conference before the season began. This would go a long way in trying to dictate that. Rising really is the difference. And can they keep him healthy is the question. What do you think? Do you have this game in your locks at all? I don't.
No.
I'm not quite sure what to make of this.
I kind of stayed away from the, besides the Oklahoma-Tennessee one, I kind of stayed away from the popular games.
I do have a USC-Michigan pick for locks.
Oh.
We'll talk about that. I am interested to see Friday night. You've got Nebraska-Illinois. Moderately interesting, although the spread in this one, I guess it's down to 7.5. So that's interesting because it was at 9.5, has come down a little bit. Syracuse can get ranked potentially. If they clobber Stanford, they're an 8.5-point favorite, it looks like. Clemson, NC State at this point is proven not to be the team that many thought, including me, that they were going to be. There's a lot of underdogs. As we get into locks, we could talk about it, but there's a lot of short dogs this week that I really like, Paige. The other game I'll say in terms of who's going to be pissed off bowl is Auburn and Arkansas. Sam Pittman needs a win bad, obviously, and Auburn, I don't want to say Hugh Freeze needs a win, but goddamn, it would help him out if he had one. I don't know if you have a pick in that game or not, but that's an interesting one too.
What about your beloved Illinois-Nebraska game?
I don't know.
Friday night game.
I mean, I just got a text message from neighbor Jason, literally right as we were coming on. And he said, do you want to tie one on Friday night with a lot of question marks? And then he said, please respond with a GIF. So the answer is yes. And now I got to figure out what GIF I'm going to respond to, because Jason, who was at the Nebraska game last weekend, I think Nebraska is going to win that game. I don't know what's going on though with that line movement. 9.5 to 7.5 is very interesting. So.
Yeah. Also, I'm asking you as a friend who maybe has in their locks and is like really debating which direction to go on this, is what do you think of that point total at 42.5?
I like an over.
That's what I got. That's what I've got. I just, you know, I'm an over.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And
yep.
I was wondering if that was just me being too aggressive, but maybe we'll.
No, I like the over. It seems low. Tell you what doesn't seem, well, it seems appropriate low. Iowa-Minnesota is not the game you should watch this weekend. The total in that game, I believe, is 35.5.
I'm still taking the under every week, guys.
God. I can't deal with them right now. I need an Iowa cleanse. All right, do we want to do locks?
Yes, we can do locks. You can go first this week.
Okay. So last week, not nearly as good. I have just been in a weird state of the state with locks of the week of trying to find my footing. I haven't loved the cards. I think I like this card more than I've liked cards so far, which is good.
Uh-huh.
My first lock of the week is BYU +6.5 versus Kansas State.
Okay.
This was at,
I looked at that.
Seven. It's down to 6.5. I think BYU is winning this game outright. I actually think that Kansas State,
who I know
just beat down Arizona, I got concerns about them and their inability to throw the football.
Okay.
Like, I think BYU is actually going to be a real problem for them. Take the 6.5, but play them on the money line as well. Western Kentucky, +2.5 versus Toledo. I absolutely love this game.
I know, that's such a Kramer pick.
In so many ways. Small home dog. Toledo just beat the absolute hell out of Mississippi State. That's a terrible loss. Now you go on the road and you take on a team that just can score points in bunches. Also like the over a little bit, but that one I like. Louisiana +3 versus Tulane. Again, Tulane has had a brutal stretch. Oklahoma and Kansas State.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that Bama effect. Those two teams were not Bama, but they've played good top 15 level, like power five teams. Now you have to go on the road and take on Louisiana, albeit a short road trip. I think that's going to be a really tough one there. I do this next one somewhat reluctantly. I'm going to take Michigan +5.5 against USC. I think the entire universe is going to be on USC in this game, which is funny. It's amazing how quickly the narratives change. I actually think that moving to Orgy, I can't say that without not pausing, but moving to Orgy for Sherrone Moore is a good move. He's going to run the ball. They're going to be a predictable offense, but I think they'll be more successful. I like Michigan +5.5. And then I think that this has a chance to be the dumbest football game of the year. Maybe. Year. Texas Tech versus Arizona State. Yeah. I have a confession to make. Texas State put me on fucking raging tilt last week when they lost to Arizona State. They were up 2 touchdowns. Oh, they just shit themselves at the end of the football game. I was pissed off.
3 points and we had 2.
This week's going to be dumb. They're going to score 1 billion points. I think this is a chance to be a super fun football game. I like the over 16.5. I kind of like Texas Tech, but I will stick with the over. And there is my box.
Okay. I am going with a lot of favorites. I feel like that's dangerous because we had a pretty chalk week last week. But again, I can start with Tennessee. Oklahoma, I'm taking Tennessee -7 in this. I do think that they are pretty good and can get the W. So I will, despite being away, I do think it'll be a big game for Nico and that Tennessee team to prove as a whole that they are competitive. Will definitely have huge implications for the top 25. I'm going to give Ole Miss some love, and I'm going to take the 37 points. -37, that's a huge spread, and I usually stay away from huge spreads, but Ole Miss has been scoring like ridiculous amounts on people, so sorry, I think it's Georgia Southern. I apologize to you in advance that I'm wishing this on your football team. It is. But I think Ole Miss is going to score a lot, and they're going to keep putting their foot on people's throats and just scoring a lot of points. USC Michigan. I am going to take the under 44.5 points. I hate this because I really want to take the over, but it's like very conflicting with USC being an over darling and Michigan being an under darling. But I think competitive wise, it's at Michigan. So I think 44.5. There will be the under. We will hit the under on that. And then Miami, again, a team that's scoring a ton of points. I'm going to go Miami -16.5 as well. I just, again, like I said, this is very favorite heavy. And I think there are teams that have proven that they're just going to continue to score a ton until we get to serious conference play. And then finally, I'm going to take the Nebraska over 42.5 with Illinois. So I am going to take the over on that
game.
With your advice, and if they don't, if it doesn't hit, then I'll blame you for that.
Yep, that's fine.
Exactly. So it's perfect. But those are my locks for this week.
I like it. We covered the gauntlet here. A lot of different types of picks. You're going chalk heavy, but you're not going chalk heavy in like
close
predictable
games?
Chalky spot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but like, and I am really curious with Tennessee because is this a line where we're overreacting what Tennessee's doing, or is it like a big market correction from Vegas coming? Like Tennessee against NC State, I don't know where it ended up. I'm pretty sure most people I know were betting Tennessee and they won by 1,000 points. It was free money. That might be the case this week. I have no idea. That game has me a little perplexed. But it's a good slate this week. It's not a superb slate, but it is a very good slate.
No, but it gives us an idea of some of the top 25 teams that were like still on the fence if they're good or not, because we haven't seen them play against tough opponents. So I am very excited to get some answers on some of these things. Still very shocked by your Kansas State take, but that's okay.
Oh, even when they beat Arizona, I'm watching this game and I'm like, I don't know, man. I like the QB. He's fun to watch. But if you actually, I would put 38 people in the box and just like, all right, I'm going to make this dude beat me with his arm. And he is so good that he could probably still run by you. But
yes,
Provo's a weird place to play. They're scoring points. I love that. As a quick teaser for week five, before we get to our random shit, we have Illinois-Penn State. Could be interesting. Wisconsin at USC. Certainly weird. Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Oklahoma-Auburn. I don't know if Arkansas-Texas A&M is important to people, but Arkansas-Texas A&M. You've got Kentucky-Ole Miss. You've got Georgia versus Alabama. You've got Louisville at Notre Dame. You got Liberty at App State. Next week is awesome. I'm sure I'm missing one in there. I'm going through the whole list. Florida State, SMU. Oh, Arizona and Utah. That's a huge game. So you don't look as excited about that last one?
No, not particularly.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about my team. You don't want to talk about your team?
We don't have to talk about our college football teams. We can talk about all the other college football teams that are out there.
Random shit. How's the move going?
You guys, we finally have all of our adult furniture. My office is in absolute disarray. Like, if you could see, I posted it before our AP Top 25 show. It's just, like, boxes and just, like, it's the collection of random stuff that we need to find a spot for here. But I feel very adult, but the adulting is a little exhausting, and I'm very tired of waiting for packages to arrive. And I've put together so many pieces of furniture, and I will preface this by saying most of the time Nick does it. It's like, I'll start it, and then he'll get home, and he'll be like, do you want me to do it? And I'm like, absolutely, you do it. And like the most patient, that is one thing I will say, is I very much appreciate having a patient partner in life, because I am not very patient, and like a million pieces. Honestly, I should have tweeted it and been like, buddy, how many beers? Because these things that I've wanted to put together, specifically a TV stand, and then there was one, we have like a bathroom storage thing for our downstairs bathroom. And I'm like, this is 8 million pieces. Why did I do this to myself? Why can I not find this already put together and I don't have to worry about it? So yeah, move is going well, but it has been a long process, and we've been in here, will it be a week, 2 weeks? I don't know. It's honestly blended together. I couldn't even tell you.
I actually love putting together furniture. It's one of the things that
Nick was totally fine with it. He was not phased. And I was like, if this were me and I had been doing this for an hour and a half, I would be like, I don't want to do this. I could be doing something way more productive than putting together a piece of furniture.
I walked in yesterday, and there was like this bookcase in a box. I don't know actually still what it's for. I said, oh, bookcase. And my wife's like, oh, yeah, it was on sale, so-and-so. And I'm just looking at that thing like, yeah, you're mine, bookcase.
Wow, that's we now discovered like the difference between boys and girls.
No, there's something, but I do it on my own terms. Like, I don't want to do it.
I want to do it
with a bottle of wine. Like, Jets are on. Jets Thursday Night Football. Then, yes, that is perfect.
Well, yeah, it could be a de-stressor when you have to watch the Jets. I get that.
I'm sorry. The 1-1 Jets, right, like the San Francisco 49ers are also 1-1.
I walked right into that one.
Just saying. I don't feel great about the Jets. My Mets, however, I'm sure they're going to, like, this will end poorly, as it does with all my teams, but they have been enjoyable to watch.
I will say another fun sports thing for my family is my fiance and his brother are both Raiders fans. And when they drafted Brock Bowers, it was like, Paige, tell us this is a good thing. And I was like, let me promise you, it's a great thing. And sure enough, he's their Lord and Savior for the Las Vegas Raiders.
It's awesome that he's going to be awesome.
I love like, him so much.
Because tight ends, you don't know. You get into, like, you know, I remember, like, Eric Ebron and just some of these guys in college that were so good. And you just know right away that this guy is going to do the same shit he did in on Saturdays and just,
yeah,
like, you know, he's catching, like...
Even if he's playing for a team that's not great or with a quarterback that's not...
15 catches in 2 weeks for a tight end? Like that's nutty.
Just love Brock Bowers because this is a Brock Bowers stand podcast. Like, we love Brock Bowers here on this podcast. We've said it many times.
I am a huge fan of Brock Bowers. The only other thing I'll say, and it is sports related... It was like another brutal injury week for football.
God, so bad. And it's sorry, don't care about your fantasy team. It's more sad for me in just general.
For sure. Like, I totally agree. It is just a reminder how crazy this sport is. And it's non-contact injuries. It's, you know.
Everything.
Pacheco and on the Jets, Jermaine Johnson, who's been very good. All of that stuff, right? It's just, it's tough. So, football is nuts.
Football is crazy. I think that's it for random shit.
I don't know how this was an hour. Probably because...
Honestly, because we spent 10 minutes arguing about the Pac-12, so that's why.
That's true. No, we have no other random shit. Again, watch us on Sunday. Be our app.
Yes. We'll be posting more about where you guys can find that and make it a little more accessible for guys. So for myself, Paige, and the Pac-12 hating Adam Kramer.
Jesus.
This was No Pencil Out. Thanks for hanging out.